There was a lot of people who came in the military that did not. Lissette, when you came in, did you have a guaranteed job?
Not really.
Not really? There were a lot of people when I came in that didn't have a guaranteed job. And so there was a certain part of boot camp where the jobs were released. And I had to laugh because now I came in and I already had mine. I already had a guaranteed job. And so I had to pass the schools. But as I come into it, the commander there, the guy who was running the head drill instructor, he comes in. Of course, they'd smoke back in those days. We're all sitting on the floor, non-air-conditioned building. And he lights up a cigarette, and he starts giving us this lecture about, you know, your jobs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, he went in there. He goes, if you are a poop scooper, you'd be the best dang poop scooper out there. And I'm kind of listening to it. I'm like going, boy, why would they tell you this? You know, are there really those jobs in the Air Force? I mean, I don't know, but it was one of those things that when you do it, take pride. Whatever it is, it's part of the mission. You got to do it. And so I always laughed at that, thinking about that, and like going, okay, because I'm like some of those people, like, you know, you get some of these job titles and you read it and you're like, that sounds really good. What does that mean? You know, and then you're like, yeah, and you're like, oh, man, that's just glorified there. But yeah, it doesn't look so bad. So I always laugh when I see these. These are the anti-motivational posters.
Okay?
Again, there was one that was worse than that, trust me. They had a guy who had to put on a suit and partially go in. Underachievement because soaring with eagles requires so much more effort. Okay, and then this one here, who can relate to this? Mistakes. It could be that the purpose of your life is only to serve as a warning to others. And I'm like going, no, I don't want to be that kind of guy. You're like, wait a minute. So, you know, we used to get those two. What were they called? Somebody did something really stupid. The awards.
Darwin Awards.
Thank you. What a perfect name for it. Darwin Awards. Yeah. I'm like going, just used to make me laugh. You're like going, why would somebody think of that? And then I'd find myself in a position. I've done things along those lines too. So this is going to just be a short little sharing here, and it's about motivation and encouragement. So let's start off here in Psalms 13. That is going to be on page 534. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Six verses. Yeah. So who's there? 534.
Wendy.
Everybody there?
I am.
Okay, why don't you read the first three, and then you read the second three. Okay. 1 through 3, 4 through 6.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Chapter 13, wait till everybody gets there.
To the chief musician, the melody of David. Mm. How long, O Yahweh, wilt thou wholly forget me? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I lay up cares within my soul, sorrow in my heart day by day? How long shall mine enemy lift himself up over me? Have regard, answer me, O Yahweh, my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep on into death.
Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed over him, and mine advertises exalt that I totter. But I in thy loving kindness have put my trust, my heart shall exalt in thy salvation. I will sing to Yah, for he hath death
bountifully. Bountifully. So here's what's neat about this. You guys remember, I don't know, the kids probably don't, but when you saw Saving Private Ryan, there was a part where they're all out marching, and the one guy asked him, he goes, permission to speak? And he goes, yeah, go ahead. And he goes, I think this is just a misallocation of you know, Army resources. He goes, go ahead. And then he tells the other guys, this is how you complain. Because he's about to give a complaint, and he's saying that if you put me within 1,000 yards of Hitler, war's over. And he's like, now that's how you complain. And as I read this, I was thinking to myself, that's a good reason in there. And I look in there, see how many times that he said, how long? How long? 4 times. David said, how long, O Yahweh, wilt thou wholly forget? How long wilt thou hide? How long shall I lay up cares? How long shall mine enemy lift up himself over me? And so I'm like going, yeah, that's pretty cool. This is good. And then down at the bottom, excuse me, in verse 6, that he's dealt bountifully with me. Mm-hmm. And he's already counting on Yahweh coming through for him. And Yahweh already has come through for him. And so when you see this, it's like, okay, this is a good way. Good bitch here. Okay. It's a good benefit here. All right, here's how I am. Things are tough, but here's how we do it. So here's one that I saw here from William Arthur Ward. Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you.
Amen.
Golly, my voice on that. Sorry, I'm having a hard time here, guys.
You need some water?
No, I've been drinking it. It's just been progressively through the day, so I've been speaking against it. But 2 Corinthians, if you guys would flip over to it. 2 Corinthians, we're going to read a couple of these here. And so the whole point is, are we ever discouraged?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we ever the person to be the encourager? Yes. And so we're going to be on both sides of this coin, that we're going to be encouraging and discouraging and discourage people from time to time. Any boys here already? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7, going to be on page 181.
Elijah, why don't you read that?
Why don't you read 3 through 7 for me, would you?
Blessed be the Elohim and our Father of our Lord, Yehoshua Christ, the Father of compassions and Elohim of all encouragement, who encourages us all in all our tribulation, to the end we may be able to encourage them who are in any tribulation through means of the encouragement wherewith we ourselves are encouraged by Elohim, or by Yahweh, because even as the sufferings the Christ overflow unto us, so through the Christ overfloweth our encouragement also. But whether we are in tribulation, it is for you encouragement and salvation. Whether we are encouraged, is it for you encouragement, which worketh inwardly by the endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer.
Oh, and 7 as well.
And so our hope is sure in your behalf, knowing that as ye are sharers of the sufferings, so also of the encouragement.
That's it.
Wow.
And so it's an overpouring of the encouragement. So yes, we're going to be discouraged. There's going to be times where you're in a valley. You're having the hard times. And then there's going to be other times where you're not, and you are encouraging that person. And it's an overflowing. That's what I love about that. So through Christ overfloweth our encouragement also. Okay, for us to do it. It's a commandment, you know, to do this, to be doing this, to bring up other people. Flip back here a couple pages here to chapter 7, okay?
2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians, just a couple pages forward here. Isaiah, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 7, why don't you read 1 through 4 for me, would you?
1 through
4? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us purify ourselves from all pollution of flesh and spirit.
Stop there for a second. I love that. I've never noticed that before. Let us purify ourselves from all pollution of flesh and spirit. And I'm like, golly, Aaron made a teaching a while back ago about how every day you're going through your life and you're just getting like junk connecting to you. You're like walking through and all this crud is just like sticking to you and you're like going, get rid of it, get it out of here. Didn't ask for this. Remove. And I'm thinking to myself, that's it. Remove the pollution. Okay, go ahead there.
Perfecting harmless in fear of God. Give place to us. No one have we corrupted. No one have we defiled. Don't you
Condemnation,
I am not saying this, for I have before said, in our hearts, O ye, to the end we may die together, and live together.
Wait, you can read all the way through 7.
Great is my freedom of speech towards you. Great is my boasting in behalf of you. I am filled with
encouragement.
I'm greatly superabounding with the joy. And all our tribulation.
Now, think about that for a second. As you read that, I am filled with encouragement. I am greatly superabounding with joy in all our tribulation. Okay? That's a tough thing to do when you're hurting that bad. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, in 5.
For even when we came unto Macedonia. Macedonia, no at all had of flesh, but in every way we are in
tribulation
without fighting, without fears, within fears. But he had encouraged them that we are brought low, encouraged us. Even Yahweh, by the presence of Titus, not however by the presence alone, but also by the encouragement wherewith he had been encouraged over you. Encouraged over you. Recounting unto us your earnest desire, your lamentation, your zeal in my behalf, so that I more rejoice.
That's it. And so this is one of them talking about that, you know, at the beginning of it, that there's no rightful reason for the person, for them to see why they're in tribulation. You see that? It's the poetic of that in verse 2. No one has wronged. No one have we corrupted. No one have we defrauded. Okay? That this is, it's going to happen. That these things are going to happen. You remember that in David, when I did a teaching a while back, where they prayed to go do what they were supposed to do, and they go and take this group, and while they're out, they come in and raid the camp and take the women and the families. And he comes back and everybody's turning against David. You know, and he's like going, what happened? What did we miss? And I'm like going, it's not necessarily missed, that there are things that take place. Now, possibly there is something that was missed. But guess what? Not a hair was hurt on any of them. And so I'm like going, so there are times when we're going to come across this where, hey, I'm falsely being persecuted. When I'm standing for Christ, I'm going to be persecuted. I will absolutely be persecuted. Encourage. Etymology. Who knows what etymology is?
Study of words.
That's it. That's a study of words. So we're going to look at it there for encourage, which actually courage is the root word, but I'll show you what that is. From Old English, the courage is actually like Latin, and it goes back a few hundred years before this. And it's make strong, hearten. From is in. Okay, make, put in. Okay, that's what that means, to put in. That's the in part of the courage, encourage. Okay, plus courage, which is the heart. So encourage means to put in the heart, is what that means. That's right, to put in the heart. So to put in the heart, inner strength is what we're referring to. A lot of times when you're looking at the scripture, it says what is, you know, professed in the heart will come out in the mouth. Okay, and it refers to that this is the when they say your heart, for you to be strong. They obviously, what they're referring to is the courage, to be courageous, to stand strong. And so this is it, to put in the heart inner strength. And so think about that when you are in the position of doing the encouraging, and even the person who is discouraged, that what's going to take for me to change, you know, my predicament or the way I feel right now? Because you can be in dire straits and still be like, you know, Paul and Silas that you're singing. You know, even after beating, being, you know, in a prison, there's still, it's a mental position where you're like going, okay, I'm in this. Holy cow. Think about what that does and how that elevates you, instead of, you know, the pity party like Jonah had. Oh, me. If you actually change everything and you turn those things around within yourself. Okay. I think I missed one here. Let me go back here. Sorry, I rolled the wheel there. I did not mean to do that. Okay, previous. Back up just a hair. Okay, I was right. Okay, so when we're doing the encouraging, is to know the person, love language of the person being encouraged. Who knows the five love languages? Anybody know them? I don't. What are they? Go ahead.
Acts of service.
French benefits, acts of service.
Time.
Yep.
Words of affirmation.
That's exactly it. Yep, that's it. These are them. Words of affirmation. Time. Receiving gifts. Sarcasm. Acts of service and physical touch. Okay? And so it depends on the person, which one it is, and it can even change between it. For example, between two spouses, it may be two things. It may be quality times and physical touch. Not in a sexual way, but in an intimate way. Maybe possibly sexual as well. But it can be completely different for somebody else, that same person, when it's a different relationship with somebody. And so learning what is their language makes it a lot easier to be able to do it, to work those. Don't withhold or wait. So I always think about that when, you know, when somebody's discouraged and you're like going, you know, think about it, you're on your way to a meeting and you run into a friend and you're like, how you doing? Oh, you wouldn't believe what's happening. And you're like going, why did I just say that? Why did I ask? Why didn't I hang out in my office for another 20 seconds? And you're just like going, you know, and it's one of those things, you know, maybe this is it where they need to hear it right now. That here it comes. Speak these words because these may be the words that they need to hear. So don't withhold or wait. And in Romans 3:13, it says that. But be exhorting one another each successive day while today is being named. Okay, so don't procrastinate on that. If something comes up, don't withhold. I know sometimes it can be an inconvenience, but work with it. You might even, you know, say a quick prayer. Yahweh, do I need to do anything? Is there something going on? I need to roll, but is there something else that this is more important? Remind of the promises of Yahweh, and this is a big one. How many times over and over through the Old Testament did Yahweh remind, hey, who freed you out of Egypt? Who's the one who did this? Well, they all knew this. I mean, this had to be talked about all the time. But yet you're like going, God dang it. Gotta put that at the top of my memory. And we have to do the same thing. We're no different. That you'll forget those. As you start recounting things, you'll be like going, oh, that's right, that's right. Forgot about that. That's a great scripture. That's a great word. So in 2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I shall be certain to be, always putting you in remembrance concerning these things, although indeed you know them, and have become confirmed in the present truth. Right, nevertheless, I count it, as long as I am in this tent, to be stirring you up by putting you in. And I think there was more to it, but it's missing something on there. I don't know why. It's missing a word at the bottom. I'm sorry about that. But to be putting you in encouragement, I think is what it is. But anyhow, that's it. To be, as long as I'm with you, I will keep doing this. And so for us to be doing that, Chuck's really good about that, about continually doing that. Aaron's really good about that. To be energetic and to constantly be, hey, make sure this is going on. Make sure. And you're like going, yeah, that's right. I need to. You know, when you're in the military, you constantly have like, where you have to do quarterly checks. It's a self-assessment thing. The unit self-assessment. It makes sure everything's worked. You know, better to sweat in peace than bleed in war. And so all these types of things. Well, it's the same thing. It's no different when it comes to the Word that we need to know these things. That if we put the sweat into it, that we cannot have the blood that comes with that. We can avoid some of those things that are unnecessary fights. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Who would like to read that for me?
Me.
Go ahead.
Because the Lord himself, with a word of command, with a chief messenger's voice, with the trumpet of Yahweh, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. To keep reading?
Mm-hmm. Read them all.
After that, we, the living who are left, together with them, shall be caught away in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus evermore with the Lord shall we be. So then be consoling one another with these words.
That's it. Consoling one another with these words. And so again, why? Well, that should be something that is the pinnacle for a Christian. Okay, that's the hope. Okay, yeah. This is coming. We're watching for that every day. We should be, hey, Christ, if today's the day, we're watching for you. We're ready. We're ready. We'll be ready to go. So that's it. And the other thing is to be, you know, in times of crisis, you know, I think about that with the funeral. Sorry, that we went to this last week, and I'm thinking to myself, a 12-year-old boy. You know, what a horrible thing. What do you say to somebody? I'm like, well, you missed something. Something was missed. Okay, but there is hope. There is hope. And the hope is these words, concerning these words. That's the hope for the child. What do you tell the parents? What do you tell the parents in this? Yeah, okay, you know, he's not in a better place. Okay, he's asleep. He's asleep. But consoling one another with these words. All right. Power of encouragement in presence. Okay, and we see this. What's that mean? That means that you physically offer yourself to the person to be with them, to encourage them. A lot of times it takes a leading by the hand to break somebody out of the discouragement. Okay, whoops, here we go. Okay, who would like to read this one here? Go ahead, Melania.
All the things which relate unto myself shall
Tychicus
make known unto you, the beloved brother and faithful minister to a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you to this very end, that ye may get to know the things which concern us, and he may encourage your hearts.
That's it. That's exactly it. Whom I have sent to you to this very end, that ye may get to know. You have to think about that. There are times where you're discouraged, and you think about that. Yeah, Yahweh, I'm just beat. I'm broken. help me out. And then somebody comes to you and you're like going, would you go away from me? I'm over here pouting. Okay, and you're always like going, hello, trying to send somebody your way to help encourage you. Here's the person who's got words for you, and I've got words for him. Did David hear from Yahweh? Directly from Yahweh?
Yeah.
Did the prophets sometimes come and tell things to David that David did not hear, but he still heard through Yahweh, through the prophets? Don't think that there are not going to be times where somebody comes in your path and this is the words of encouragement. For crying out loud, I was thinking about that. You know, your day's going great, and then all of a sudden somebody runs into you and they're telling you, I've got some words for you. They're going to lift you up. And you're like, okay, great. And then they tell you, and you're like going, holy cow, something about, you know, is everything just going to collapse on me, around me? I'm like going, no. But at the same time, I'm like going, boy, wouldn't that be nice if somebody forewarned you? Be on guard that this is about to take place. This is coming down, and be ready for it. You're like, okay, thank you, good. Instead of falling into a pit, read the word with them. Great one to do, because now it opens it up to where you can actually discuss things that may not want to be talked about that people can talk about. Passages about strength, endurance, promises, and hope. Pray with and for them. And this is a great thing. Naren's been wonderful at doing this. You know, all the pastor's things that we've done, that I used to do, and then the booths that we'd go on, you know, put up signs, you know, prophecy. Price is really good. It's free. For crying out loud. And you'd almost have to round people up like a corral to get them to do it. And then explain to them, and yeah, I don't think I want that. Okay? But not a one person has ever had a prophecy that afterwards is like going, yeah, I really didn't need that. I don't want that. No, go away from me. Every single one of them walked away going, holy cow, wow, thank you. What was that? It's something that enlightens them. And think about that. There's many times, this may be the only time ever that they hear from Yahweh. And I'm like going, here it is. Boy, this is something that we could go. We were talking about that the other day in the office. Does anybody not remember their first prophecy? It's engraved. I mean, it is just so far to where I can almost remember the exact setting, everything about it. And so I think to myself, yeah, this is a great way to do it. What a wonderful way when somebody's discouraged to hear from Yahweh. Pray with them and for them. And the way Aaron's been doing this, which has been working great, is you just ask, hey, can I pray for you? You don't ask, or can I, you know, I'd like to say a prayer with you. You know, it kind of makes me laugh because it's the same way that the cops, when they pull you over, they'll ask you, how come you weren't wearing your seatbelt? Well, that's a question. It's not a statement. But people fall for it all the time. If the statement is, why weren't you wearing your seatbelt, for you to say, I was! Oh, okay. Or the excuse, well, you just answered the question. Yeah. You didn't even have to answer the question. And then the next one is, so you don't have anything in your car that's illegal that you wouldn't mind me seeing, would you? Well, if you say yes to that, you just incriminated yourself. So when you say no, the next thing is, well, then you wouldn't mind me looking through it, would you? And it's a whole way of getting you to be like, going, what just happened? Okay? This is for a good cause. Okay? Let me say a prayer for you. Now, most people will be like, okay, no problem. And when you do, and Aaron's been great at doing this, you say prayer. As you're doing this, if words come, you speak them. If Yahweh has nothing for them, or their heart is completely shut off and closed, no problem. Okay, we're done. Great. Okay, no fault, no problem. But what a great way to encourage. It works excellent. We've learned a lot in the working of this, to try to do this where you offer it, nobody wants it, and now you're like, Callie, if I have to push this on you, I'll do it. And here it comes. And once I do it, you're going to be very thankful that it came out. You'll be very thankful. Prophecy. We all need encouragement from time to time. Tell the discouraged how they encouraged you in the past. Okay? So in the same way, when you come across somebody and you can tell they're discouraged, great things were when you remind them of things that they've done. Hey, remember when you did this and how that worked out? And as people start recollecting that, and as you start telling it, it feeds upon itself. I mean, it's almost like a little mini nuclear explosion that as soon as it takes off, it just all starts circling round and round and feeding off of it. And you're like going, and for both parties will get blessed from that. Just ways of doing this. Guidance that is based on Yahweh's principles. Don't stray onto your own. Okay, don't stray onto your own when you're doing the encouragement. Stay biblical, because it will keep you in bounds. If you start straying outside of that, people sometimes will hear things that they possibly want to hear, or things that they, you know, thought were okay, that, okay, well, just gave me permission because I just talked to this person. So always keep it founded right on Yahweh's word. Never get out of the train while it's in a tunnel. Duh. Okay? Never eat yellow snow. I mean, there's a ton of these, but think about that. Never get out of the train while it's in a tunnel. Why? Okay? Well, because there's too much danger and you can't see what's going on. Okay, you don't know what's up. You don't know where it's going. I thought that was a great one as I was preparing this. I'm like going, that's it. And so what does that mean? Don't be making life or huge choices or decisions when you're in a crisis and you are seriously discouraged without having light shown on it. Other people be praying for this. Wait until you get words. You know, there's stories where, was it Saul was told to wait for 7 days? And at the end of the 7 days, he was like, okay, you know, time to do the sacrifice myself. And he got in trouble for that because he didn't do it correctly. And I'm like going, man, 7 days. And a prophet tells you this, wait 7 days. And you're like going, I don't want to wait 7 days. That's too long. That's too long. But until light shined on it, don't go and make giant decisions without having somebody else intercede. Somebody else who's walking by faith to do this and be praying. And if Yahweh gives you the word, gives you, okay, good. Good, but don't, in those crises, don't do things hastily. Words encourage and discourage. They do both. Okay, so in Proverbs 18:21, who would like to read that one?
Me.
Go ahead. Who said it first?
Me.
Okay, you get the first one, you get the second one.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And his friend shall eat the tree.
That's it. Okay. And Matthew 12:36. Let's flip over to there. Okay, flip back a little bit, about an inch worth, I think. Matthew 12:36. It's going to be on page 13, I believe. Page 12, maybe. On page 12. Esther, I'll let you read 36 and 37 when you get there, baby.
Okay, I'm there.
Everybody else there?
Yep.
Okay, go for it.
But I say unto you that every useless expression that men shall utter, they shall wonder concerning it, and account in the day of judgment. For by the words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt be commended.
Condemned. That's it. And so that's it. So the words are powerful. We know that the tongue is like a rudder that steers it. And so when we're doing those things that we can, with our own words, we can discourage those who are already encouraged. See what I'm saying? It's really easy to do that by saying that, especially when somebody is looking up to you as an example. Your words of discouragement can bring down the playing field, and now you just, not you being discouraged, you discourage other people. Willingly or unwillingly, you may be able to do that. So be careful. Check the tongue, check the mouth to make sure what you're doing is going to glorify instead of to break down. Proverbs 18:21. Esther, why don't you read, or I'm sorry, Melania, why don't you read this one for me?
There is no
Who babbleth?
Who babbleth as with thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise hath healing.
That's it, and that's what we want to do. We do not want to be cutting, but to be doing the healing. Sometimes it may appear that it has to be a cutting to do the healing. I mean, obviously, removing cancer, you got to go in there. And so, yeah, that's tough. It's tough. But to get rid of these things may take that, where it's some hurt initially, but the healing is what's coming with that. But not to be just stabbing away, basically, is that what they're referring to in that proverb. Proverbs 16:24. Elijah, why don't you read that for me?
A comb of honey are pleasant words, sweet to the taste and healing to the bone.
That's it. That's exactly it. Okay, blessed am I when I reach the end of me. And I'm like, God, what? I don't really get that. And I thought about that. I'm like, blessed am I when I reach the end of me. Well, what does that mean? Okay, think about this. When Abraham, as a knife, was raised, okay, this is the son that they were told that they were going to have. And he's going to be the one that's going to carry on the bloodline. And yet, I'm going to sacrifice him. And I fully believe that Abraham was going to slay his son. And that he knew that Yahweh would raise him back. How many people have been raised by this time?
None.
So this is the first thing. It would be like going, you know, you're going to cast this mountain into the sea. Well, I've never seen that happen. How does that work? How's it done? Well, we don't know how it's done. It hasn't been done. And you walk in faith. But I think about that. I'm at the end of me. Daniel, as he stood before the lion's den. okay, that this is it. You know, it's not me. It's I'm at the whim's end or wit's end, and it's if this goes through, it is not anything because of me. It's because Yahweh is in this with me. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, as they stood at the front of the furnace. Okay, Yehoshua in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think about the woman that had the, as I was thinking about this teaching earlier, the woman that was the widow that had the child, and they were down to their last meal. Remember that? And the prophet comes in, and she tells him, he goes, well, we're going to go eat these leftovers, and then we're going to die. And he's like, well, before you do that, why don't you cook me something up? You know, you're like going, blessed am I when I reach the end of me. Okay? When I reach the end of me, I am out of me. This is going to take outside of me to complete. And so this is what it is. And so what happened with her? She got completely blessed. They got the oil poured until there was no more to pour into. Okay, and that's Yahweh. He's like, yeah, bring it to me. What am I limited with? Do you think I don't have an endless supply of this oil to keep pouring out? Okay, flip over to 2 Corinthians 12. Nine through ten, and we are going to be on page 189, I think. Yep, page 189, 12, 9, and 10. Who'd like to read this one for me? Okay, go ahead.
And at once he said unto me,
sufficient.
Sufficient for thee is my favor. For my power and meekness is made complete. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ may spread a tent over me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness and insults and
necessities
and persecutions and straits in behalf of Christ, for as soon as I am weak, then am I powerful.
And that's it. That's what that all means. For when I'm at the end of me, and when I'm out of me, that's when I can be what Yahweh wants me to be. Not that Yahweh wants us to be powerful, but to come to Him. We have to be able to do that. So even in those times when you're in full discouragement, you think about that. When did Christ come to His apostles on the water? Fourth watch of the night. You think that was a mistake? Okay, they're done. We're done. It's counted out. You know, it's a hurricane storm on a lake that you can see across, for crying out loud. You know, and so you think about these things that, golly, when it comes to the end, hang tough, go another day. You know, I think about the survival stories about the people who were, in a life raft. And like the USS Indianapolis, you know, watch some of that. And these guys are out there for 3 or 4 days floating in life rafts. And people are being eaten by sharks. And these guys would literally tell you they hung on hour by hour. And had they known they'd been there for 4 days, they would have just pulled the plug. No, I can't do it. But I can go for 1 hour. And then that hour ends, I can go another hour. And they did this over and over and over again. 4 days later, they're rescued. You know, and so you think about that, like going, yeah. You know, at that point, if you knew what you were going to go into, you'd be like going, you know, Christ knew what He was going to go into and still did it. And you're like, yeah, it's going to be horrible, and I'm going to pay for all this for as an innocent man, and yet I'm going to do it. I will go do it. All right. So, encouragement. I always loved that picture. Okay, it's dragging behind here a little bit. All right, this is it. This is, I'm going to show you this one thing, and this will be the end of it. I kind of thought this was kind of a funny thing, because it's a pastor who was going around, and he was evangelizing, and he was telling people, you know, about their struggles and everything else. Everything was happening against them while they were going out and preaching and having wonderful success. And this is his, it's only 2 minutes, but it's kind of a funny thing, kind of a little laugh. But it's very accurate as I listen to it.
We'd done a string of one-nighters, dropping 4 to 6 hours between things, and so I was pretty worn out, but I was driving better, and my wife looked at me, and she said, you know, I'm encouraged. And I was like, man, we're out here, we're getting hammered, and we just had an accident with a trailer we pulled, and it's late at night, it's snowing, I mean, like, white out. I had to stay behind the car in front of me so I knew where the road went, and so that's awesome. That's awesome. Laura, I really appreciate you being encouraged, and that's an encouragement to me. I mean, we're out here, we're getting hammered, we're having, you know, hard times, and this is difficult, and you know, and I look over there and she's got this really weird look on her face. And I was like, what? She said, I said I'm discouraged. Oh. Well, let me encourage you. You know. And there was times when I was out there that I got discouraged, and God would send somebody to encourage me at that moment. And that's such an awesome thing that God does. God sees when you're discouraged, and God will send somebody to encourage you. Now, oftentimes, here's what happens. When you need encouragement, God will send somebody across your path that needs to be encouraged. And then as you forget for a moment and step outside yourself and you begin to encourage them, guess what happens? You get encouraged. Happens to me all the time in the ministry. It's every so often I have a bad day or a difficult day in the ministry, and God is so faithful to send somebody across my path that needs encouragement. And I walk away from that encounter going, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So always be open to encouraging somebody else. And Paul was just going
to... And that's it. And so I always think about that, is there's times that you might be discouraged and somebody else comes to you who's also discouraged, and it's your job to build them up, and you're like going, well, what about me?
Yeah.
And I'm like going, oh, this is it. Because while you're doing this, this is like I said, it's like that mini explosion that is feeding both. It's feeding both. And while you are stepping out of yourself to serve, okay, and then getting at the end of me, that you are being filled as well. And so I'm like going, that's perfect. I've seen that happen with me before. I know it's happened with others, but we'll go ahead and close here with that. And so I'll have a closing word and then a word for those people who might be watching. So Yahweh, we thank you for the words that you give us. We just thank you for this day, for this blessed time, for all the wonderful things. We intercede for all men and women in authority that we may live a peaceful and a quiet life. And so we thank you for that, for those that stand in righteousness. Yahweh, we thank you to bless them, and we just intercede for them, for their protection, and for them to continually stand strong. And for all those that are teaching the word and standing faithful to your word, to also have the wisdom of you, the faith of you, Yahweh, that they may be able to just show you about and show what a wonderful creator, what a wonderful father you are. And we intercede for ourselves so we are able to do that as well, Yahweh, that as people see us, that they will see the peculiarness of us and wonder what it is that is within us, that we may be able to share and shine these things and deliver your messages and your words. And so we thank you for that, for the words that you give to us. We just speak this all in your son's name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, come before me knowing that I have prepared for you a wonderful array of things that are available to you. For it is not me that has limited these, but it is those that seek me. For these things are available just as anybody who seeks to pick the fruit. And those that will seek will some will pick the fruit on the bottom, where others will climb to the top to get the best of the fruit that's in the sun all day. And so there's fruit for everyone that's out there. But for what you will willing to do, that I will reward you greatly, for the fruit that I have is unspoilable. For it's not fashioned of this world, but it is fashioned for what is to come. So know that as you do these things and as you choose me and choose my ways, that I will continually guide you and I will sparkle up within you to regenerate new growth for the things that you prayed for and seen. For I call to my children to stand in faith. So for those who are willing to stand in faith, I call for you to do these things. For it is great privilege for me to watch my children who believe to speak words of comfort and words that are not of this world. So come to me knowing that as I hear every word, I hear every thought, for I am with you. And so I call upon you that you open your heart and open your eyes, that I may be able to shine within and remove the scales that are upon your body, upon your ears, and upon your eyes.